I told you last Sunday that I am determined from this point out, as long as I have to live, that I am only going to tell you what I think God is saying. And the only way I know to do that and be accurate with that is to stick with the Bible. So I'm we're back into the Word in a way that you wouldn't believe. I mean, really. Okay, just hold your finger there for a minute. Last Sunday night, Jackie and I and our two oldest grandchildren drove down to Vero Beach to talk to my mother. My mother is 92. She's in the Baptist nursing home there in Vero Beach. And we felt that we should tell her something of what was happening in our lives, that I needed to do that, that it was wrong to exclude her from this. And yet we did this with a lot of fear and anxiety because her mind is not always lucid and sometimes she gets things mixed up, and we didn't want to scare her in any way. And so we did a lot of praying in the car out loud as we drove down with the grandchildren, with TJ and April, TJ Buckingham, Tim's son, and April Moore, Robin and John's son, daughter. Sorry about that, April. You're back there. She's almost as big as her grandmother. But we did a lot of praying as we went down and asking God just to give us wisdom and to go before us with my mom. And we got in there and we got her wheelchair and rolled her around in the little prayer chapel. This was about 5:30 in the afternoon, I guess, 6 o'clock maybe, in the little prayer chapel. Jackie had said, you know, her mind is not really good later in the day. It was too bad we couldn't have come early in the morning, which is fresh. And we just said, Lord, you'll have to take charge of this. And I was just going to tell her a little bit, just going to tell her, certainly not go into all the details about the thing, just say that, well, the doctors had thought there was something wrong and we were going for additional tests and treatment. And as I got in there and began to talk to her, suddenly her face just lit up and her eyes began to sparkle, and I could see the years dropping off. And suddenly she was my mother. And I was her son. And I just went ahead and told her everything. I said, you just need to know this. And she listened. And she said, now, son? She said, now, son, now I know why God has left me here. I've been praying and praying and praying. She says, I wake up in the middle of the night and I realize that I haven't prayed for somebody. And so I pray for them because I forgot about it when I went to sleep. And I wake up at night and pray for... And she says, now I know why God has left me here, that I'm to pray for you. And she said, I'm going to call you every day. And she has. And then she said something extremely significant in the midst of all this. She said, son, do not give orders to God. She said, there's going to be a tendency to tell God what to do in the midst of this. Don't give him orders. Don't tell him what to do. You may plead your case, but you must submit to him, for he is a good God. And he will only do good things in your life. Jackie said to me as we left, she said, but aren't we to claim our healing? And then we both began to realize, no, we really don't do that. Because God is healer. He is our healer. We don't claim the healing, we claim him. All we want is God. That's all. His presence in our lives. And then I can trust him to do what he wants to do. I know that God has not brought cancer on me or on any of you. God does not do that. God does not make you suffer. God does not hurt you. God does not scare you. Over and over and over, we have heard the words, fear not. I've never heard God say, be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. Fear not, trust me. And then something else came. No, I don't give orders to God, but I do give orders to Satan. In fact, I am mandated by God. And you are mandated by God to rebuke him and to cast him out, to chase him away in the name of Jesus. Put him under your foot. My brother Clay called us last week. We chatted for a while. He said something that I jotted down, another one of those significant little words that came. He said, Jamie, my brother Clay is a retired major general in the Army, a very dedicated man of God, is now giving his life to ministry. And he said, faith is not believing in God. Faith is believing God. And there is a vast difference in believing in God and in believing God. Well, I hung up and I sat there and tried to figure out, what did that mean? What does it mean to believe God? I've been praying for faith. I told you last week I'd had a conversation with Oral Roberts. He'd call me on the phone and he said, Jamie, I have faith to believe that God has said, this is not your time to be taken away. But, he said, the Holy Spirit will have to give you that faith. I can't give it to you. I thought, all right, faith is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I have the right to ask for that. And so I asked for the gift of faith. Lord, I'm not sure what that is. I've been talking, preaching faith all my life. But now suddenly it's at a different level. I don't have faith to believe for you. I got to have faith to believe for me. And that's different when somebody has handed me a black-edged piece of paper that looks like a death certificate. It just doesn't have a time on it right yet. And we don't know those things. And I don't want to know those things. I have made a commitment of some, from this time on, every day belongs to you. If I know I just have enough breath for the next 24 hours, I praise you and I thank you. I mean, if that's all I got left, that is enough. I will give you everything I've got and we will live this thing out together. Now, if that's for another 40 years, that's wonderful too. But now I'm having to believe for myself. What does faith mean? Faith means believing God. Believing God. Well, how do I believe God? And it got very, very simple all of a sudden. There it is. That's believing God. This is God's Word. If this is not God's Word, then I should throw it away. Because all it does is confuse people. If it is God's Word, then I believe it, and I believe it all. And I stand on it, and all of the promises that are within it, I stand on those promises. I must believe those promises. And as I look through it, I find out that all the promises of God are for healing. God says, choose you this day, life or death. But he says, I choose for you life. So I've been through these promises this week, over and over and over again, been listening to them on tape and been reading them in the Bible and reading to them on pieces of paper that people have sent me and all kinds of words that have come. All the promises of God. I've been waking each morning, Monday through Friday, as we've gotten ready for these men's prayer meetings here at the church, waking up 5 o'clock. And each morning, Monday through Friday, there has been a tiny little whisper come. One sentence, maybe two, maybe just three or four words. In that early time when you're just coming out of sleep and into consciousness, before your mind has a chance to really do anything, but you're alert enough to record in your mind, to hear in your mind. And there's been these little messages coming to me. They're different each day. And as I've looked back and I've written them down, I've recorded them for each day, what they meant for that particular day. And Friday morning, There was nothing Saturday, nothing this morning. But Friday morning, there were two little whispers from God. And the first was, just as I was waking, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And I had forgotten where that came from. I've been so immersed in everything else that's going on. And later I got up and tried to find it. I said, again, that Proverbs, Isaiah, where is it? Well, it's the introduction of that passage in Ephesians 6 that I went through a whole series here a summer ago on the armor of God. That's where it starts. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then right on top of it was a second word that came that said, cooperate with me and I will heal you. And I got up and began to work through that. Wrote it down. What does that mean? And then I got all uptight because it was in the future tense. I will heal you. Cooperate with me and I will heal you. And then gradually, during the morning, it began to come to me. Hey, wait. God's not bound by tenses. God is neither past nor future. God is always in the present. He is always in the present. He is much bigger than our concept of time. He goes all the way from beginning to end. He is Alpha and Omega. He is all of that, all together. Now, follow me on this, because I think it's extremely important that we get together on this kind of thing for your sake. I've already got it into me right now, but it's important for your sake that we grab this thing, that God is not bound by past. When Moses asked God what his name was, God gave him that funny answer. Go tell the Pharaoh, I am has spoken to you. I am. I am that I am. That sounds like something out of a Three Stooges movie. I mean, it really doesn't make sense. It's just so ridiculous that it doesn't make sense until you begin to realize that what he was saying is, I am all being. I am is the essence of the word to be, of the whole concept of being. And he is present. He is present all the time. He didn't say, my name is I was. He didn't say, my name is I will. He said, my name is I am. I am here. So he is both past and he is future. And therefore, if he says to you, as he said to me, I will heal you, that means it's already been done. The contract has already been done. The covenant is already taken care of. It's done. Now, the evidence of that is yet to be seen. I don't know when that evidence is going to take place, nor do I know what process he will use for that, but it is done. And that's the reason I took you to Hebrews 11. Bibles, first verse of Hebrews 11. Classic verse on faith. And I'm reading from the NIV, New International Version. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. And I think the King James says, evidence of things not seen. Evidence. Certain of what we do not see. Faith is believing in an invisible God. And it's believing the invisible God does invisible things which we don't see, which are there just the same. Even if we don't see them. Go down to verse 7. That whole concept is repeated again when he's talking about Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, obeyed God. Obeyed God even though he had not seen anything. He did that ridiculous thing of building a boat out there in the middle of a desert. No water around, had not been any water around. Never been any water around. Build a boat in the middle of the desert. Because God told him to, he acted on obedience, and by acting on obedience, he was saved. That concept is found again over in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. turn back to Romans 4. Romans 4, the latter part of verse 17. And I've underlined this. He's talking about Abraham, but then he's talking about Abraham's relationship with God, and he throws in a little aside about who God is. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Now, I don't know what you're facing. See, I know what I'm facing. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that each one of you are struggling with the same kind of anxieties that have been battling against me throughout this week, this last 2 weeks. Because you're battling with the impossible, and you're battling with the invisible. Things that are bigger than you are that you can't see. Forces that are coming against you. And now we're talking about a God who calls things that are not as though they were. About a God who speaks to those things that you can't see and causes them to come into being. You need money. You don't know where it's going to come from. You need health. You don't know where it's going to come from. Your financial people, whatever it is, says there is no more money. You're going to be stuck at this $4 an hour job for the rest of your life. That's where you are. And you turn to God who calls things into being as though they were. You need help. You're faced with an impossible situation. Your family's breaking up. You're faced with impossible situations. All of these things that are functioning in the invisible world, that the God who is in the invisible world affects the visible world. That's been a big struggle I've had. As I looked at this whole thing of miracle, I've talked about this. And then I realized that there's a whole school of thought out there, especially by Christian physicians. Bless their hearts. I would rather have them than anybody else. But even with the Christian physicians who are saying that the body is one thing and you inhabit this body and it gets sick and it dies, we can help a little bit. But the spirit is wonderful. It goes on to be with God. Now I'm dealing with a whole concept that says, no, wait just a minute. God invades the visible as well. God changes things. And it's right to expect a miracle. It's right to speak it. Now, I'd be very careful about this because I've struggled with what we call the faith teachers and all of the flippancy that sometimes goes on with that, even the arrogance that goes on with it. And so I've battled against that. I've battled it inside of me. But I've come to an understanding. I don't say it to make it happen. I say it because it has happened. It is done. Because God is God. And therefore I'm not confessing it with my mouth to bring it into being. That's foolishness. Nor do I say it's not there. There's no darkness in there. There is darkness in there. I can feel it. If I exercise too much, I can feel something inside of me that has not been there before. I look fine on the outside. I know there's something wrong, but I believe that God has cut off the source of that thing. And now I can trust that the miracle power of God will go to work on the inside of me, and it is being done. Being done. Not it will be done, but it is being done. And that same thing is true with each one of you. Now, I've begun to realize this word is all I have. If it's not true, we should disband this church right now. Just say, folks, we're closing the doors. Don't come back. We're going to sell the building next week. City can have it. Use it for the recreation ground. Church is foolishness. No sense in us coming and doing all this stuff and singing and making noise and praising God and giving our offerings. It all depends on whether this word is true or not. And if it's true, then what we're doing is absolutely necessary. Not only that, but we can't play games anymore. That we've got to stand on this word, we've got to begin to live it out and behave as the word teaches us to behave. God says this, we do it because He's God. If God says don't do that, we don't do it because it's God who has spoken. If God says I am this kind of God, then we believe He is this kind of God. If it's true, we believe it. And that's what faith is, believing God and believing this word. This week I found this word is filled with promises of His healing. I have not found a single promise in this Bible that God wants to take my life using cancer. Not a single one. Or that He wants to take my life or your life using any other foul kind of means. He don't want to do that. God doesn't want you hurting and helpless and anxious, filled with worry. Word says, worry not. I haven't found any place in here where God says, get up in the morning and worry. Maybe I haven't read through it enough, but I haven't found it yet. Haven't found any place in here where God says, be afraid. Fall on your face and grovel and cry and scream and be afraid and give in and have a nervous breakdown. Throughout this word, He says, fear not, I am with you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His word is filled with promises for healing. Well, how do we put all this together? Friday afternoon, we had another breakthrough. We've had hundreds of breakthroughs. Keep going down deeper and deeper into different levels. And Oral Roberts had sent me a videotape of this last Charismatic Bible Ministries conference. Jana, you and Patty were out there. In fact, you're on the tape. So you're back in the audience back there. Your red dresses on. In which it was a sermon that he had preached on healing. And so he went in Friday afternoon, and I'd worked Friday morning, and we had a lot of stuff to do, and I'd eaten lunch, and I was going to take a little rest right after lunch and then get back to work again and plug the videotape into the VCR and cut the machine on. And I lay down on the sofa, and Jackie was in a chair on the other side of the room. I kind of stretched out watching Oral as he was preaching a sermon on Peter's mother-in-law who had been sick, and he had come into the house and had stood over her and had spoken words of healing to her. And then she'd got up and gone in the kitchen, and the fever had gone away, the great fever had gone away, and she was able to fix him a meal. And it's a familiar story, and I'm kind of listening as Oral Roberts is kind of rattling on with this thing, and he reached the point to where he said, now, this woman had to do something. Once the healing was hers, she had to respond to it. You just lay there on the bed or on the sofa all you want to, but you've got to respond to this thing. If it's true, you've got to get up and respond to the word. And then he, in his typical Oral Roberts style, said, now, everybody get up. He was talking to all the folks in the big Maybe Center out there. 7,000, 6,000 people. Everybody get up. Stand up. And suddenly, I came off the sofa. Just whoo! Like that. And Jackie came out of her chair on the other side of the room. And we began to shout. I mean, walking through the house, shouting. And, it's ours. It's ours. It's mine. Belongs to me. I don't have to claim it. I just know that it's mine because God says that the miracle is mine, that the healing is mine, that that's what He wants for me, and I'm going to stand on that. We cut the television thing off, and I just kind of wandered around shouting and praising God. Jackie's wandering around shouting and praising God, talking in tongues and everything else that goes with that, you know. And suddenly, bingo, right into my mind comes a dart. And the dart says, you're going to destroy this church. If you get up and say that, people are going to get all excited. And they're going to think, boy, that's great. That's the kind of God God is. And then you're going to die. And this church is going to scatter into a million pieces. And it'll have reflections all over the world because of what happened. And the moment it came, I heard myself saying, in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuked that. And then instantly from the other side came another dart that said, you're going to destroy your family. Your children are going to hear you say that, and there's a lot of hope that's going to well up on the inside of them, and they're going to get excited, and it's going to be real exciting for them because they're all concerned that you may die, and now you're saying you're not going to die, that God's going to let you live, and then you're going to go right ahead and die, right in front of them, and they're going to lose faith, and they're going to turn from God. And once again, the only way I know to handle that thing is to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. And then another dart comes that says the easiest thing to do would be to go ahead and die peacefully. Everybody else does that. I'd gotten a letter from a friend of mine, bless his heart, opened the letter by saying, everybody dies sometime, you know. God bless him. And I know that's so. I'm not walking in some kind of illusion. All I'm saying is I'm believing that God doesn't want to take me out using cancer. That's all. He's got a better way to get rid of me. You know, I'd like to go out like Elijah. I mean, really, that's what I'd really like. Or, you know, or like Enoch, you know, who just walked with God and was not because God took him. I told my kids last night when they finished praying for me, I said, the easiest thing in the world would just be to go right now. Got my family all around me, you know, and just suddenly I'm not here. And you just, you know, I'm just not here anymore and everything's okay. But the spirit of resignation, which is a spirit from Satan, and I recognize that's what it was, and that spirit said, go ahead, that demonic spirit said, go ahead and just give in. Die easy on this one. Make it as comfortable for yourself as possible. Die easy. Everybody will understand that because that's what everybody else does. And then you won't hurt the church and you won't hurt your family and everything will be okay. And I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I believe God wants to work a miracle through me. That's where I'm standing. And I think He wants to work one through you. I don't think it's just for me. I just got to be the focus point on that one. A lot of you are worse off than I am physically. And we know that. I've visited some people this week who are worse off than I am physically, financially, emotionally. And God wants to do a miracle in your life. Amen. He is a miracle working God. Now He'll use His own methods to do that. And I get scared to death when I think about some of the methods He may use. I mean, I don't know what those are. But He's a good God. And I keep going back to that. And I've talked to all these doctors about any of the treatment they may use, and they keep talking about side effects, and I don't know what that means. I know chemotherapy does certain things to certain people, doesn't affect other people. Some people get well, sometimes the treatment kills them. I don't know what they're talking about. Side effects, experimental drugs, all that kind of stuff. Am I supposed to do that? I don't know. God's going to have to show me step at a time. Amen. As we get into this. Now I'm commanding you. Now what I am commanding you today, just listen to this, don't turn to it. It's Deuteronomy 30. What I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven and get it and proclaim it so that we may obey it. God's not saying you have to wait till the holy man comes back from heaven and tells you what is there. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you'll have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us that we may obey it? Now remember, this is Moses writing to the children of Israel. He's come down from the top of Mount Sinai. They've all understood that Moses is saying, I've been up, I visited God, God gave me this message, here it is for you guys. And now God is saying through Moses, it's not that way. What I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you may obey it. Act on it. Obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and will increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down before other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. The day, this day, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life. The Lord is your life. And He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers.